Tonight and turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. I'll begin reading in verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 28. We have an arch enemy of a spiritual of man. Man has an arch enemy, and that is, of course, the devil. He is an arch enemy of man's spiritual interests. There is a real devil. The devil is real. There's a lot of people that scoff at that today. Those of us that are truly engaged in the Christian battle understand the spiritual warfare that we fight. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians that we fight not with flesh and blood, but we fight with principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. There's a spiritual warfare that the saved are engaged in. We are fighting a difficult battle. We're actually warring with the devil. And of course, Paul taught us a little early in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, that all of us are victimized by the devil. He is the prince and the power of the air. Actually, I believe that people are serving the devil and they don't even realize it. John taught us in the book of John, 1 John, he says, if a man sins, he is of the devil. There are many things that puzzle us and perhaps keep us dumbfounded as we study the Scriptures. Now, we know that the devil is a fallen angel. He is referred to as Lucifer, as Satan, Beelzebub. He is the one that's the accuser of the brethren. I'm not going to go through all these passages, okay? Get you a concordance and look it up. But we know that there is a real devil. Now, there's many arguments that could be used to propose and to present that truth. There's a philosophical argument, I guess, that could be introduced tonight. You know, God would not create an earth like we live in and then accomplish or set forth His purpose, and then on top of that, create an adversary to His purpose. The devil, this fallen angel, chose to sin of his own volition. Now I realize there's a big question, you know, did God create evil? And I'm not going to get into that kind of theological discussion tonight, but He did create the devil. But the devil was not created as an evil angel. He was created as a supreme holy angel. Actually, he walked, and as we read in these passages, he walked in the very Shekinah glory of heaven. He was the most superb angel that was created. He was beautiful. You can read in these scriptures, as we're going to read here in chapter 8 of 28 of Ezekiel. He was magnificent in beauty. It's obvious that he was a great musician. Played wonderful, glorious music. So that was part of his design and part of his makeup. I'm convinced God loves music. He loves praise. He loves our praise. He loves gospel music. And I guess if you're visiting here tonight, you can tell we do too. If you are claiming to be a Christian tonight and you know nothing of the spiritual warfare, you need to reevaluate what kind of Christian you really are. You could be like those that Jesus talked about in the 7th chapter of Matthew that said unto Him on that great day of judgment, Lord, have not we prophesied in Thy name? And Lord, in Thy name have we not cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works. And Jesus will say to them those sad, sad words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew. There are a lot of people today that are claiming to be Christians but know nothing of spiritual things. My friend, God is a spirit. Salvation is a spiritual experience. You must be born again. You must be born from above. And in the course of our trying to live the Christian life, in our attempts to serve God, we're going to have constant conflict with the devil. I mean, even Jesus himself. Now, you know, if I presented a philosophical argument, and it, you know, if I had a purpose, if I was going to do something, I would not at the same time do something or create something to undo what I was doing. God created this world to glorify himself. And the source of conflict, the thing that's preventing that from happening in your life, is not the result of God. It is the result of sin introduced by the devil. Now, the preacher talked about that, what happened in the Garden of Eden the other night, and I'm not going to go back over that. But church work. You know, Satan is trying to overthrow the work of the church. Aren't you glad Jesus taught us in the 16th chapter of Matthew? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People, there's a lot of things spewing from the gates of hell. But I assure you that Satan is kept chained. We read in the book of Peter, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, where the angels were delivered into darkness, they were reserved into judgment, that they were also delivered unto a certain degree of chainment, or they are restricted to some degree. They're like Satan is like a mad dog on a chain. He can only go so far, and I assure you, he cannot get to one of God's elect. Amen. Won't happen. And I assure you, he will not bring the church down. Gates of hell is classified as the city of darkness, the city of hell, the city of Satan. It's in contrast with the city of heaven. But whatever comes from the gates of hell, it will not destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Gates of hell shall not... But there's a lot of things that are spewed, a lot of smut coming out of those gates. That's taking its toll and having an impact on the church of Jesus Christ. Sin to a Christian is like kryptonite to Superman. It disables us. Amen? That's why it's so imperative and so important for us when we're trying to serve God to come clean before Him. Amen? Get our sins in the blood of Jesus. And there is nothing any greater in all of the world than to have your sins under the blood. And every time our sins are under the blood, we've won another victory over the devil. He was, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through all of this, but there's just a few points I want to make. Listen, church, we need to be courageous. We need the courage of Joshua. God has given us the land. He sure has. And we need to march. We need to go forth and conquer. I realize that we are periodically experiencing and hearing the hoofs of the horses of the apocalypse, but there might be war, and yes, the red horse is riding. Yes, there's famine, there's disease. Yes, the pale horse, death is all around us. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is still mounted upon that white horse, and he's going forth with that bow piercing hearts of men and bringing conviction. And he's going forth conquering and to conquer. Oh, that Jesus would ride through this place tonight and pierce your soul and bring you deliverance over death, disease, and hell in the grave. Amen. He does that when he saves your soul. One of the most profound statements that people don't understand or comprehend is when Jesus said this. He said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. Amen. Jesus came to deliver us. Yes, he will deliver us from disease, from every sorrow and every pain. I don't have time to get in Revelation and read those passages, but I assure you there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. For the former things will have passed away. Glory be to God through Jesus. We experience that through His shed blood. All right, but listen. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. One of the most assured evidences that there is a devil, more than just a philosophical argument, it just makes sense that there's a devil. There's the contrast of good and evil, bad and good. Amen. I mean, that's in the world. That's right before us. How did that get there? I'll tell you how it got there. It got there through the influence of the devil. He is the God of this world. People today scoff at the realization that there is a devil. I pray in the course of this service tonight that it will be revealed to you clearly that there is a devil and he is influencing your life. I want to say again, every one of us have been victimized by the devil. Philosophically, it'd be easy for me to prove. Socially, it'd be easy for me to prove there's a devil. Look at all the chaos in the world. All the trouble in the world. It's not from God, people. It's from the devil. And Peter said that he was like a roaring lion going forth, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to devour you. He's trying to devour you mentally. He's trying to devour you spiritually and physically. The devil wants your mind, he wants your soul, and he wants your body. Praise God, there's victory in Jesus. There were a lot of things I had on my mind to say, and I'm not going to say all of them right yet. But we need to be courageous, church. We need to be moving forward as God gives us the ability and the grace to do so. We need to calculate things like David did. We need to consider the cost. We need to go forth and have the concord like Gideon. People, if we'll just come together like those people did, we'll see victory like they saw victory over the Mennonites. If we will just closely cling together, if we'll be of one mind and one accord, there's nothing that the church cannot do. There's power when we are in service to Him, when we are dedicated to Him, when we are united to Him, when we are all on the same page. There's power when we are of one mind and one accord. And you know, the devil doesn't want us unified. He wants to divide. He's a liar. He is the father of lies. He's not wanting us to be harmonious. He doesn't like when the body of Christ is connected and really serving the Lord. He tries. He is the arch enemy of the church. Keep that in mind. I want us to take just a closer look at our adversary just for a moment. I'm going to begin reading. Here in these passages, I'm going to start in verse 12. Of course, he's talking about the king of Tyre. And it's not uncommon in Scripture where that, like David sometimes, would be talking about himself, but it would actually, by divine inspiration and by the Holy Ghost, be a messianic prophecy. He would be referring to Jesus. Yes, it was King David that was going through it and experienced it, but it was a prophetical revelation of King Jesus, not King David. Here in these passages, it's talking about the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre, and he was an evil, evil, evil man. But the source of his evilness, the source of his wickedness, was Satan himself. And there was a lot of similarities, and here we have revealed some of the things regarding the devil. Let us notice, as I begin reading, how he was created. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. In other words, he was taught. Now he begins to reflect upon the devil, upon Satan, the influence, the true source of the evilness of this king, and how that Satan, before he fell, he actually was in heaven. The devil was an angel and resided in heaven. He was in the Eden of God, which is the very heaven of heavens. Let's notice in these passages some things about our adversary. Very precious, let's see. Very precious stones. We see him being how colorful he was created. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, and the diamond, beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy... Now here he starts talking about the musical aspect of it that I mentioned earlier. The tabrets and the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Okay, so we have a picture of his beauty. He was the most beautiful angel created. The most beautiful angel. A mirage of colors. All these precious jewels and gems and the colors of them were reflected in his beauty. He was beautiful. He was musical. We noticed that there were that actually part of him. I mean, we sit down at the piano, we pick up a guitar, but he had musical ability built in. Amen. That's what it says. And undoubtedly, he was created to glorify God with music. Now, I believe we should glorify God with music. That our music should glorify him. And I'm kind of running a rabbit, so I won't go there. But we're just noticing some of these things. He was beautiful. He was the most supreme cherubim. Notice in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. So he was the most anointed, the most beautiful angel, a cherub that was created. Notice here, and wast upon the holy mount of God. I have no idea what that means. But obviously there's in heaven a mountain of God, a holy mountain of God. And I believe it displayed the Shekinah glory of God. He said, thou wast upon the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Up on that mountain there are stones of fire. And he had the privilege to walk up and down on these stones. I don't know what that means. But I think it's showing his elevated position in heaven. Not all angels got to walk on the stones of fire in heaven. Not all the angels were able to go up on this particular mountain in heaven, but this anointed cherubim was able to. Thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created. What? What happened? What happened? Here we have the most supreme, majestic angel ever created. Beautiful. Arrayed in colors, given the special privileges, the most special privileges that were granted to any of the angels in heaven. He said, and you were perfect. Oh, a perfect angel. Till what happened? Notice here. Something happened. Till iniquity was found in them. Not only that, but let's continue to read. By the multitude of thy merchandises, they have filled the midst of thee with thy... Now, Jesus told us, the thing's in chapter 24, chapter 25, chapter 25 of Matthew, that when he was talking about the day of departure, the goats on one side and the sheep on the other, that they would be cast, those that had not been saved, those that had not trusted Jesus, on the day of judgment will be cast into hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan led a rebellion against God. And he took a third of the stars of heaven with him. In the course of this rebellion, he merchandised or trafficked his sins. There are a lot of people today that are following the devil. You know, we live in a society that's so messed up. There are actually people who worship the devil. I remember the first year of college. Aaron was a freshman. Sorry, Aaron. And he called us the first week, you know, He called us up and he said, Dad. I said, what? We thought something had happened. You know how panicky you are when you send your kids off to college? And he said, my roommate's a witch. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, you know, the witch? I mean, you know, what we're talking about here. No, he's a witch. I mean, there are people who actually worship the devil, that build an altar to Satan. I'm telling you, people, there's the devil. He's real. He was the most beautiful angel ever created, but sin was found in him. I want us to turn to the 14th chapter of Isaiah just for a few moments. You probably figured I was going to go to these passages and correspond it with some of the I wills of Satan. He was trafficking his sin. He's still doing it today. He wants to keep people from coming to Jesus Christ. And I want to get to this. I don't want to lose sight of this. I don't want this to drift from my mind. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I've said that already, but I want to say it again. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, you must believe in the devil, or you make the Word of God a lie. There's a real devil. People, we're fighting. If there's ever been a time we need to have the whole armor of God on, it's now. There are principalities and powers that are lurking in places that we never imagined. From some cartoons to some churches. You know, Satan is still able, according to Paul in Corinthians, to appear to people as an angel of light. He's very deceptive. And even the book of Revelation. You read there in the 12th chapter of Revelation and we saw the words revealed, the war in heaven, and Michael and the angels fought against the dragon. And he was trying to destroy the man-child, the church. And as you notice there in those particular passages of Scripture, it is very clear that Satan has come down to us. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to you. He's here. He's angry. We need to be aware of his wrath. And he realizes that he only has a short time. And he's seeking to deceive and to destroy. Deceive and to destroy. Now, Satan is very gifted at deceiving people. One of the grand things that I like about our way is that we leave the saving up to God. We depend upon the finished work at Calvary to save people. And we depend upon the Holy Spirit to let them know when they're saved. Now that's important to me. Okay? Because there are, you know, Paul said to the young minister Timothy, there are many deceivers that have went out in the world. There's many of them here. But one of the grand marks of the church is that each person must have their own experience of grace. That each person must know the Lord for themselves. That they are not convinced of the forgiveness of sin through some system of works or through something they say or something they do. They get forgiveness of sin when they trust in the merits and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. The moment you believe with all of your heart, you'll experience the new birth. Amen? Now, I can come along, and there are some people out there in the world that are really gifted. They're con artists. They're really gifted at convincing people of stuff. They run cons all the time. And even in religion, a con's being ran on a lot of people. And I've said this many times, I'm going to say it again. You know, if a man can convince you that you're saved, a man can come along and convince you you're unsaved. But see, what we have is not from man. As the preacher quoted last night, it's not of the will of man. It's of the will of God. And when God pardons you and delivers you and releases you from the condemnation of sin and the works of the devil, it's a transforming thing. You move from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. I mean, the moment you repent of your sins and you trust in Jesus with all of your heart, you're delivered. You're put in the hand of the Father. I'm telling you, no man can take you out. Not even the devil. Okay. Where was I? All right. We have Satan. The devil. Beautiful, musical angel. He was the covering. He hovered over God. I mean, he was so beautiful and so glorious, he just hovered over God. He dwelled in a special place in the Shekinah glory, in an area only he dwelt. Notice, sin was found in him. Let's look just for a moment at verse 12 of the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, just weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend in heaven. Let me pause here just for a moment. There's actually five I wills in here, and I don't know if I'll get to all of them. But I want to get to this one. God, is there anybody here that denies the fact that God created us for His glory? Is there anybody that will refute that? Anybody here? Nobody. All of us believe that God created us for His honor and His glory. Okay, we're all the same thing. Right. But how many of you have said, I will do it my way? How many of you have said, well, yes, I'm to honor and glorify God, but I will do what I want to do and live the way I want to live? Oh, come on. I will. People, it's not I will, it should be the Lord's will. And if you search your heart tonight and you are not willing to submit and to surrender to the will of God, you're more in line with the devil than you are with God. No wonder John would say, these are the children of God, these are the children of the devil. I will. I will. I will be saved my way. I wish I had time to get to this. Y'all bear with me. I'll have religion the way I want to have religion. I will believe the doctrines that I want to believe. People, it's not your option. We must embrace the truth of God, the Word of God, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's pretty easy to see which religions are of God and which religions are of the devil. Those that are not conforming to the teachings of Jesus Christ are not of Jesus Christ. They are men. They're heresies. They're men's opinions and not the Word of God. And people, we must teach and preach and hold to the Word of God. Amen. Yes, everything we believe, everything we do, everything we say, every action we have should align with the Word of God. I will. I will do it my way. Listen, people, we are a race. We were created. What? We're a created race. Now, I realize we've done studies on angels. Each one of them were created individually. They're not a race. They don't procreate, okay? And I'm not going to get into all those aspects of it. I don't have time tonight. You can do your own word search study about that. But we are not gods and we will never become gods. There's one God. One God. His name is Jehovah. He's an infinite intelligent spirit. I realize in the unity of Godhead, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but there's still just one God. You're not going to become a God. You're not a God. You, my friend, are a human being. And on top of that, that, you're a human being that's been influenced by the adversary. Now, there's a warfare raging on every level. There's a warfare raging in the spiritual realm. There's a warfare raging on the in the earthly realm. Turn to Daniel for just a moment. See if I can find this right quick. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. There was an angel that was sent to give Daniel some additional understanding and revelation. There in chapter 10, it's he said, let me see, verse 11. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, this is the angel speaking. He says, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In other words, Daniel was praying. Daniel was fasting and chastening himself and wanting to know the will of God. And it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, here's this angel being dispatched from the throne of God to go and give Daniel some information from the very beginning of his praying and his fasting, and he was hindered 21 days. 1 and 21. In other words, 21 days he was hindered. He was prevented from getting. In other words, there's a warfare, there's a conflict in the spiritual realm. There are demons, my friend. There are demonic forces, not only on the earth, but also above the earth, on every level. There is a spiritual conflict. It's the God against the devil. Now, God is letting the devil run his course, but I tell you what, he's going to be brought into judgment one day, cast into the bottomless pit. But anyway, you can see there that he was hindered. Then it says, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So we see in these particular passages where that an angel was trying to get somewhere and wasn't able to get there. He was being hindered, he was being prevented. And another angel came and assisted. Michael was able to win the victory and he was able to get to Daniel. All right, so there's a warfare raging in the spiritual realm as well on a human level. All right, let me go back here just for a minute. I'm going to close. Isaiah chapter 14. Look there just for a minute. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit. Who's sitting on the throne of your heart tonight? I'm going to ask you a question. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Is Jesus there? If Jesus is not on the throne of your heart, you know who is there? You are. It was pride. Satan was lifted up with pride. He exalted himself above the purpose, the created purpose of God for him. And there's a lot of people today that are still exalting themselves above the purpose, the created purpose of God for them. They're doing it their way. They're doing what they want to do.